Coming up on KUCB News, the nation's only heavy icebreaker arrived to the Aleutians this week. And Congress passed a law that may be one of the most significant to fight climate change in years. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Wednesday, January 6th, 2021. The nation's sole heavy icebreaker arrived in the Aleutians this week for the first time since 2013. As KUCB's Hope McKenney reports, the Coast Guard's Polar Star is preparing to patrol Alaska's Arctic waters, including the maritime boundary line separating the U.S. and Russia.
The Polar Star sits in the port of Dutch Harbor. The ship is nearly 400 feet long and can break ice up to 21 feet thick. Masked members of the 136-person crew form an assembly line as they offload garbage into two large dumpsters on the icy dock. The ship arrived Tuesday for a three-day stopover. It's a pit stop during its upcoming deployment to the Arctic to assert maritime sovereignty and security in the far north.
The Arctic is incredibly important to the U.S. strategically, because of the amount of gas and oil and resources, as well as the fishing stocks, which are landed here on Alaska.
Captain Bill Waitira is the commanding officer of the Cutter Polar Star, which he says is the most powerful ship in the U.S. Coast Guard. Usually, this time of year, this special ice-breaking cutter is on its way to Antarctica's McMurdo Station to drop fuel and other supplies to American scientists doing research near the South Pole. But this year,
with the global pandemic, they were able to cancel the Seaworth mission that created the opportunity for Polar Star to come back north again.
This is the ship's first winter Arctic deployment since the 1980s. In addition to the cutter crew, there are partner agency researchers and scientists, British sailors from the Royal Navy, midshipmen from the Merchant Marine Academy, and deck watch officers and ice pilots from the Healy, the Coast Guard's medium icebreaker that's capable of Arctic patrols during summer months. Waitira says the mission isn't only about national security and securing U.S. economic interests. It's doing environmental research. They're partnering with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute to take water samples and measurements while the boat transits over the Arctic Circle to better understand the harsh environment there. Getting data in the remote region during the winter, Waitira says, is otherwise extremely difficult.
Basically, a heavy icebreaker is built so that it can go anywhere on the Earth in any thickness of ice during any time of year.
Even though the Polar Star was built to break through thick ice, just a month into their Arctic deployment, Waitira says the season has been tough on the 44-year-old vessel.
Breaking ice in the Arctic winter is especially challenging because that ice is so hard. This year, the ice is so hard, it sounds like a car crash. Just twisting metal and screeching noises and shattering glass, it's really kind of disconcerting. There's no danger, but it leaves an unsettling feeling in your stomach.
He says the crew has been working around the clock just to keep the ship running. On New Year's Eve, they got stopped in the ice, and their engineers were up all night working to replace blown diodes and resistors that are usually considered obsolete.
These are parts that just don't exist anymore. We have a warehouse of spares, but when they're gone, we won't be able to run this ship anymore.
That's why Waitira and other Arctic planners say it's so important for the government to invest the billions of dollars needed to build new icebreakers in the next decade to replace the Polar Star, which is the nation's only functional icebreaker after a fire damaged the Healy this past summer. The federal government is in the process of commissioning one, and Congress has agreed to build five more, but they haven't paid for it yet. Waitira says the construction on the first new icebreaker is expected to be completed in 2024. It will be 460 feet long, 90 feet wide, and weigh almost twice as much as the Polar Star.
It's going to be the largest, most complex, most powerful ship that the Coast Guard has ever built.
In the meantime, Wojtyra says the Polar Star's Arctic mission will help train the future generation of Arctic sailors and mission leaders.
This is our chance to really build up that experience and that expertise and hone our proficiency operating in this environment. Because once those polar security cutters are delivered in a few years, we're going to need operators and leaders to actually take them to sea. And we desperately need them to have experience in this environment.
The Polar Star is expected to leave on Alaska's port of Dutch Harbor Thursday afternoon. Wojtyra says he expects they will complete their mission and return to Seattle by the end of next month. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
A federal judge Tuesday denied requests that she block the Trump administration from issuing oil leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason's ruling means the federal government was able to continue with its plans to hold the refuge's first ever oil lease sale, which took place this morning. Leases from the sale will not be issued today. The Department of Justice will first need to conduct an antitrust review. Winning bidders must also sign paperwork and pay. Still, it's a win for the Trump administration, which has pushed to lock in drilling in the refuge in its final weeks before President-elect Joe Biden takes office and can try to stop it. Gleason's decision Tuesday came in three lawsuits filed this fall by an array of groups, including environmental organizations and the Gwich'in Steering Committee. Gleason's decision Tuesday is not a ruling on the merits of the broader lawsuits. Those court cases will continue. You may know it as the COVID relief bill that will send you $600. It's also the bill President Trump finally signed to avoid a government shutdown. Less known is that the massive year-end bill is the most significant law to fight climate change that Congress has passed in years, and maybe ever. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
The energy section of this 5,000-page bill is labeled Division Z, and it's its own kind of huge. Senator Lisa Murkowski has been working on it for years.
Well, I remember that energy bill that we had on the floor back in February and then in early March.
Murkowski couldn't pass it then, but as chair of the Energy Committee, she negotiated for months behind the scenes, adding energy priorities along the way. It all came together in the waning days of 2020, and it hopped the last train leaving the congressional station, the COVID/government spending bill. Division Z has a smorgasbord of energy programs, old and new.
It's historic. It's certainly the largest clean energy and climate bill in a decade.
Rich Powell leads ClearPath, a group advocating for conservative solutions to climate change. Some 70 senators and House members contributed to the energy part of the bill. Powell says key features came from Murkowski's committee.
The piece that we're most excited about is the huge moonshot program to develop new innovative clean energy technologies.
The bill has billions to research and develop wind, solar, hydro, and geothermal, plus energy storage to make renewables more useful. It aims to develop new kinds of nuclear power. The bill will establish 20 major demonstration projects over the next 5 years. Powell says it will combat climate change by acting as a launch pad for new technologies.
And we need them fast. We need to develop them in the mid-2020s so that companies in the United States can deploy them in the 2030s and bring the cost down, and then the rest of the world can deploy them in the 2040s.
LG Holstein of the Environmental Defense Fund says it's also important that the bill continues tax credits for existing technology like wind and solar energy, plus a new credit for offshore wind.
Those tax credits have been critical in helping to bring down the cost, and those costs are still falling, for these clean energy sources.
Some of the bill's provisions have particular relevance in Alaska. It expands the weatherization assistance program to help retrofit homes. It also encourages the development of hybrid microgrid systems for isolated communities. The bill doesn't go as far as some climate groups wanted. Critics say there's not enough support for electric vehicles or smart buildings, nor does it cap greenhouse gas emissions, though it does phase out an especially potent kind, HFCs or hydrofluorocarbons. Some environmental groups don't like that the bill has programs for capturing carbon dioxide to keep the greenhouse gas out of the atmosphere. They say it props up the fossil fuel industry. And the bill divides the fossil fuel lobby. The American Petroleum Institute praises the carbon capture programs, while the American Energy Alliance complains it is a stealth Green New Deal with giveaways for the renewable power industry. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And tomorrow, in celebration of Russian Christmas and the start of 3 days of festivities, KUCB will be taking a look back at some of Unalaska's past starring ceremonies. Join us during our newscast tomorrow at noon and 5 p.m. to hear clips of the island's starrings dating back to the 1980s. Then tune in again at 7 o'clock to join the Parish of the Holy Ascension in this year's virtual starring event. The starring ceremony will be broadcast on Channel 8 TV and streamed on our Facebook Live. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. ¶¶